Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, April the 10th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. Attorney General Barr reported to be assembling a team to review decisions by the FBI and the Justice Department. Also, on our Wednesday rundown, protest against anti-sanctuary city bills, plus a look at why no 10-year-old should be in jail. Topping our news, Attorney General William Barr has assembled a team to review counterintelligence decisions that were made by the Justice Department and by FBI officials. Bloomberg reports that review includes actions taken during the probe of the Trump campaign in the summer of 2016. Bloomberg says this indicates Barr is looking into allegations that Republican lawmakers have been pursuing for more than a year, that the investigation into Trump and possible collusion with Russia was tainted at the start by anti-Trump bias in the Justice Department. Barr told the House panel Tuesday, "I am reviewing the conduct of the investigation and trying to get my arms around all aspects of the counterintelligence investigation." And people fanned out across the Michigan State Capitol Tuesday. They were there to protest bills that would prevent cities and counties from passing ordinances that limit cooperation with federal immigration agents. Suzanne Potter reports for Public News Service.
House Bills 4083 and 4090 would ban so-called sanctuary city policies that instruct police agencies or jails not to detain people solely for being undocumented or hold people for ICE agents to pick up unless they've been accused of a serious crime or ICE has a warrant for their arrest. Diego Bonasati with the group Michigan United warns the bills would invite abuse.
They create a space where the likelihood is that police will be expected to contact ICE if they come across a person who they think is foreign-born. This is going to create a mistrust of the police department and immigrant communities.
Some cities keep information about immigration status confidential when a person isn't accused of any non-immigration violation. Supporters of the bills say cities and counties have a duty to comply when the federal government requests an immigration hold.
Michigan United held the protest as part of its annual Capitol Day event. A small nonprofit in northern Kentucky is removing face, neck, and hand tattoos for people starting a new life, that after they serve time in prison.
It all started several years ago when Joe Martin retired from a long corporate career and began tutoring GED subjects to people incarcerated at the Kenton County Detention Center in Covington. Martin realized that even with a GED, the prison and gang-related tattoos she kept seeing would prevent many individuals from finding employment. She decided to start a nonprofit that specializes in tattoo removal for men and women who are coming out of incarceration at no charge.
About 3 years into it, I kept seeing all these terribly offensive tattoos on these young men and women. And I thought, how are they going to get a job? They can get the GED. So that's what I tutored was GED subjects. But they had some, you know, tattoos on their face and necks and hands and, you know, pretty unemployable stuff.
According to the latest statistics from the Prison Policy Initiative, more than 40,000 Kentuckians are currently behind bars, and most will struggle to find work after being released. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
Martin estimates her organization has removed tattoos on hundreds of formerly incarcerated Kentuckians, as well as victims of human trafficking. And with only a few weeks remaining in this year's legislative session, Ross Brown reports Iowans with disabilities and their families aim to remind lawmakers there to seek their input before passing new laws that could affect them.
Rick Shannon with the Iowa Developmental Disabilities Council says Advocating for Change Day is held every other year at the state capitol. He says some Iowans affected by disabilities have strong opinions about policy proposals, but hold back from sharing their concerns.
Too often, though, people with disabilities, for whatever reason, are not communicating with those lawmakers, those decision makers. And so people make decisions without that information. And that information is pretty critical regarding policy and funding for disability services.
Those who participate in Change Day will meet with their lawmakers at the state capitol today. I'm Roz Brown.
In Iowa, one measure, House File 690, would create a mental health system exclusively for children, defining core services that must be provided to kids up to age 18 who have serious emotional disturbances. And finally, Mary Sherman reports legislation making its way now through the Illinois House. It could help change the trajectory for some kids that are in legal trouble.
House Bill 1468 would raise the minimum age for juvenile detention from 10 to 13. Chairman of the Illinois Juvenile Justice Commission, George Timberlake, says research shows detention is harmful for young children, with long-lasting impacts on mental and physical health, as well as education and future employment.
No 10-year-old should be in jail. And let's be very clear that detention is secured confinement. It is behind locked doors. There are limitations on contact with people other than the staff and clients inside a detention center.
Raising the detention age to 13 also would make it consistent with the minimum age to sentence youth to the Department of Juvenile Justice. Opponents of the change say the small percentage of children under age 13 in detention are therefore significant issues.
In 2018, Cook County passed an ordinance prohibiting detention of kids under the age of 13. I'm Mike Clifford, and you've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and you'll find us online at publicnewsservice.org.